Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing, we can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, broken, live or die. So speak life. It's twisted. Other days, my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Like fire, hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher, use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher, spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say.
A very good evening, faithful listeners of Eagle FM and, of course, faithful listeners of Life Lessons. Welcome to yet another episode right here on your number one talk radio station. I am your host, Nafa Happy Juju, and I'm here to keep you company this evening. Now, you know, this time around, when you hear the voice of Toby Mac speak live, I am just round about the corner somewhere. That has to be on a Saturday, okay? If you do hear it on a Sunday, you know I wouldn't be here. But nonetheless, let's get right into today's conversation. Now, today we're speaking something more, I don't want to say realistic, okay? But I want to say something more modern. Something that speaks to today's reality. Something that is shaping the world. Of course, it has its positive impact and its negative impact. And who better than the official photographer for the Namibian presidency? And I'm sure some of people will be thinking, he just takes photos and that's it? More needs actually to go into that. When you're talking about media, there's more than what actually meets the eye. There's so much that goes in. I think I gave a little bit of a snippet into it when we spoke last week Saturday, but yeah, there's more that goes behind. Behind the scenes, there's a lot of work that actually goes into it. You know, we get the finished product, but there's more work that goes in and a team that actually goes in. But yeah, nonetheless, welcome to today's Life Lessons. We're talking about passion for media and photography, you all. Back then, I think just taking a picture was enough. Nowadays, there's more that actually goes into a picture or into a photo. It needs to be. But let me not give anything of something that I precisely am not trained in. let me not give anything. Nonetheless, let me welcome my guest, whom it is a pleasure to have with me in studio this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about Abisai Haidoa. A very good afternoon to you, sir. Or close to good evening, and welcome to Life Lessons.
Thank you, Dafa. Good evening to good you evening. And to the listeners.
It's a pleasure to have you. Okay. It is a pleasure to have you with me in studio.
Thank you.
I have so many questions for you, ne? I mean, we're talking about the official presidency or official photographer for the Namibian president. And you know, we're talking about President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah. You know, I've been sharing the beautiful pictures you take, not knowing that you were the man behind them.
I have to actually reveal that I've been checking the name. I've been seeing the name popping up and reoccurring on the notifications all the time. Then finally, here you are.
I hope I won't be asked to pay for credit or give credit to where it's due.
If a social media should pay you.
Exactly. Yeah. Abisai, of course, we're talking about your passion and your journey into media and photography for that matter. Yeah, I think let's start off. I need to find out where this passion actually developed. What triggered it? So let's get to the basics. First of all, who is Abisai Haidoa? Where did you grow up? How was your upbringing like? Yeah. How many siblings maybe? What happened that just triggered you like, I think I can actually, I have a, maybe I have a career in this field. Tell us.
Okay. So, Abisai, I'm born and raised, actually a village champion. I was born and raised in Umutako village. Okay. That's close to Oshikuku, some 15 kilometers away from Oshikuku. Family of five. I have four siblings. I'm the middle child.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Are you a well-behaved middle child?
I'm a well-behaved.
I don't know, something about middle kids, guys. Anyway.
I'm a good kid.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So, yes. I've done my primary school in at Omongete Combined School. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, after grade 7, I moved to high school, which is Nuyoma Secondary School. It's just a few kilometers from the village. So, and from there, I mean, it started after high school. Of course, the passion started at school. We had volunteers, you know, the Peace Corps. We had a very good English teacher from Canada. And so she used to have this, you know, previously we used to have point and shoot, you know, the ones that like cell phones, the digital cameras. We call them point and shoot.
Okay.
The, you know, those one that optical, the one that just zoom out and
you
literally just pick it up, switch it on, and then you point
take
and
pictures.
Shoot. You take pictures. Uh-huh. So that's why they are called point and shoot.
Ah.
So I loved the camera. And then also during when you are watching newspapers, there's this incredible connection and hi-fi corporations inserts of the, and then there's these video cameras. And these digital frames, and there's also, so that's when I've been now looking at this, and I think I would need to get my hands on this. But that time, looking at the price, you're like, so how am I going to buy this? So, yeah. So, and when she takes pictures, she gave us the opportunity to also get our hands on the camera. So I made sure I'm part of that team.
Oh,
that,
wow.
So I started taking pictures until the point where like, okay, it's enough now. I'm sorry. We need to give it to the next person. So I think that's where it started. But also my uncle, my late uncle, Jonas, he used to be a photographer. Of course, back then in the analog photography, he took actually some quite great pictures of us as a family. Mm. So he used to pop up at family gatherings, family events, take pictures. And I'm looking at the thing that's flashing and I'm curious.
So that's where the passion started.
I see.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Almost anyone or everyone, some way, for all the many people that I've interviewed,
yeah,
I've come to deduce something. You don't just wake up and you are a medical doctor. You don't just wake up and you are a qualified nurse working in the hospital.
Absolutely.
It usually, something somewhere usually triggers. And it later, as you listen to someone's story, you now pick up, oh, this started here, you see? Hence why, oh, but we thank God for your English teacher. Is she still around?
She's around. She went back to the US. She lives in, she lives in the US. So we talk, we now engage on social media and, I'll tell her, oh, thank you for that camera. I'm now where I am because of that. So, yeah.
What did she say?
No, she's proud.
Of course.
She's proud.
Of course.
And she's always following.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, I guess everybody will always be proud, especially when they've had their part to play in someone's career. It's a big thing. It's a great thing, you know? I think it's what we call destiny helpers.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, Abisai, having had that passion, when did you decide, let me take a career in this? Let me really be serious about it and attach a paper to it.
Okay. After high school, I think I stayed a year down. Still trying to figure out what is the next step after high school.
Did you deliberately take a gap year?
It's a lot involved.
Okay.
I was not that sharp kid at school. Just like I'm born as a middle child, I think even at school, I was still in the middle even the performance, but not that bad and not so good as well, but something to keep you going. So after that, we had this radio, this Childline, Witani Childline Radio, which plays on national radio. I loved radio so much. And I remember making these stereoforms, turning into a radio. And of course, there used to be this song on radio, repetitive. Almost every day you hear We Are the World by Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. So when I'm going out to herd the goats and the cattle, I have this imaginary radio of mine and I'm playing that. So, and to a point where I also steal my parents' radio. And you know, at the village, there's a thing where I do not touch that dial. You don't change, you don't switch channels.
Mm-mm.
So I make sure when they are not paying attention, I take the radio, go with it to the, when I'm going to head my cattle and the goats. So that's when I will now switch channels, and then I discovered national radio and I loved it. The English, the music.
Yeah.
So, and then that's where the passion started. This, Witani Childline Radio, they talk about various topics. And one day I happened to tune in on time and there was a lady, I forgot her name. Her name is Natasha.
Okay.
So she was talking about media, passion for media and all of that. And then she came, said, no, if you want to pursue a media career, you can go to University of Namibia, Polytechnic of Namibia back then, which is now NAST.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, College of Arts. All those things striked me. She spoke all those things.
Wow.
And of course, my points were not so good to go to UNAM and to go to NAST. But I almost went to NAST. But of course, the circumstances, and you are also not the only child, so I had to now weigh my options based on the pricing of the courses.
Mm-hmm.
So I opted for College of Arts. So I went to College of Arts, and I was straight in it. We did the English aptitude test, and I wanted to do television first.
Okay.
But then my lecturer, his name was Joost van der Poort. He was the HOD of College of Arts at the media department.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, Abisai, because I was always the smallest, youngest, and he's like, no, Abisai, are you sure you want to do television? That field is so competitive, you may not be able to make it because it's very competitive and your face I don't think it's ready for TV yet.
Okay, okay.
So it was an honest opinion. Okay. I didn't get offended, okay, of course.
Good.
But he said, maybe try to look for something else. And then there was new media. He gave me that option. It's called new media, where there's graphic design, photography. And yeah, I'm sure it has now elevated. So yes, I took new media. And then we did a test. So they gave us a test papers. And then at the end, there's an open page where you have to draw something, but it needs to be a logo. Back then, I didn't know what a logo is.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just starting.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what a logo is. So it says draw a head of a warthog. You already see how a warthog is complicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I started, using my imagination, and I became number one. So, that's where the journey started. Now it's like, no, Absai, you're doing well here. So we are enrolling you into new media. So it has started. And, during the course I'm doing now, I think towards the second year, maybe in the middle of the second year, our photography lecture, first we used to have junior, and then we had Kistin, and then we had Leitago. Uh-huh. So Leitago used to have this a company called, first when it started, it used to be called Nightlife.
Okay.
And then, of course, as it grew, it became Nawazone. So that was, I'm one of the founding employees of Nawazone.
Oh,
so he's just like, guys, he actually been scouting for the best students. And I think for some reason I ended up in his list, and then he's like, Absai, come here, I want to talk to you. It was me and one of my classmates.
Yeah.
Come here, I want to talk to you guys. I'm starting something. It's like this, and this is how much you're going to get paid, and this. And of course, me being in Windhoek, I've been looking for at least to start and do something.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this is an opportunity. It's in my field that I'm studying, and there's payment involved.
Mm-hmm.
So let me start. And, I've been doing my nightlife, taking pictures here and there. I'm sure people from back then would know from the early 2012 would know for Nawazone very well what we used to do. It was quite famous.
Yeah.
So we started photography, and it kept going until we started doing corporate. We now moved away from nightlife. We started doing corporates, weddings. And that's how it has been going.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like how you spoke about the advice you're given by your lecturer and the fact that you didn't take offense on it.
Of course.
Right. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking back now, being a professional photographer, how would you now read the fact that he gave you that advice and actually pushed you into being a photographer?
Yeah, that is something I never stop talking about to many people, especially when I'm talking about my career.
Yeah.
I like to always bring it up because it's like it was a jump start.
Exactly.
to myself and not just personally. It also helped me because I later started agreeing with him that, okay, this is television or media, it's a competitive space.
Yeah.
So you need to choose your path correctly, and you make sure that you own that space.
Mm.
So yes, I want to see him now. Of course, I'm not sure we lost contact, but I want to still see him and give him a huge handshake and say thank you very much for this.
Yeah.
So yeah, and really, I've been moving in different ways. Of course, it's still within the career, where I have been one of my key highlight. I got an opportunity to capture Dr. Helen Clark. She's the former Prime Minister of New Zealand. So she came here, that time she's now chief administrator of UNDP.
Mm.
And we've been working with UNDP on a volunteerism
basis.
So yes. So that was one of the
highlighting
moment. And I keep talking about it. Even when I go to interviews, I'm like, I was a lead photographer Dr. Helen Clark. Oh, and I was the Prime Minister of New Zealand.
And you were the lead photographer?
Of course, as young as I was. And so my boss, or my manager trusted me. So he's like, Absai, he loved this word. They would say, bro, you gotta do it. So you, you must go. This is yours. You must take it and you must do your job properly, professionally. And of course I followed this idea and that's what I did. And it's one of the key moments. Yeah. And of course when she went back, she even asked to take a picture with me. So that was
you
one of the
still have that
picture? I still have it. I have it on my Instagram if you keep going down somewhere. It's there. It's right there.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I'm glad she asked to take a picture with you.
Of course. And she I remember coming to meet, she had a courtesy with the president, President Pohamba, at State House. I've never been to State House and I used to love this Bluetooth earpiece. So I used to keep having them on while, you know, it makes your life easier when you are taking pictures because all your hands are tied to the camera.
Oh.
So, and you still need to multitask. So, when the calls come in, you just press and you say, okay, I'm busy shooting or whatever. So yeah, now I went to State House. I still have my earpiece in the office. I was like, what is that? What are those things in your ears? I was like, no, it's my Bluetooth, it's my phone. So, and then I happened to, something that also, something beautifully, of course I didn't speak to her. That's when I met the previous photographer for State House. That is, Maria Namunjebo. I met her during that courtesy.
Yeah.
So I'm coming in as a guest with my guest.
Yes, yes.
And she is there with the president. So we are not talking. I'm just seeing like, oh wow, this is a lady from State House.
The one
that's taking the pictures.
Impressed.
But that time I didn't know I was going to be in that space as
oh
well.
Oh my God. Look at that. So, look at life.
Yes. It happened so beautifully.
Were you admiring her at that particular point in time?
And like, you know, I don't know, she's hyper. So as she's taking pictures, you know, the motion, how she's moving.
Yeah,
and so I'm also admiring that and I'm also copying, you know. So yeah, it was inspiring. But at the same time,
little did you know you're actually being trained indirectly without knowing it.
Yeah. So, and we are still engaging. She's my colleague now still. She's still working there. We are together. So we connect very well in that space.
Yeah.
And we can engage for hours just on photography.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Interesting. So interesting. But you know what? You remind me of something. You remind me of me when I was really young and I loved something about taking pictures. I still do.
Yeah.
You know, although I didn't really get into the business of being trained, being equipped how to professionally do it.
Mm.
It's something that when my friends say, take pictures of me, I can take 100 pictures. And luckily I have a friend who really loves pictures.
Mm.
I can take without complaining because it's my thing.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah. There's a thing. Of course I've learned that also from my manager, Leitago. He gave me a few key takeaways actually to guidelines when I'm taking pictures. Like when you are taking pictures, don't just take one photo and you keep quiet. If it's just people standing or sitting because they are moving and they are blinking and they make sure you take at least 5 or 3. Make sure, because what if that you take just one photo, but then the person was, that's a very second the person blinked and then you lost that moment.
Exactly.
So take more. And I've been doing that really. Mm. So I would have a card of, 32 gigabyte capacity in my camera.
Okay.
That card will immediately get full. But it's not, you know, once you get behind the lens, you forget the outside world.
Okay.
Even the ears are gone.
Okay.
You are living in your space and you are imagining how you are going to frame this. You are really in your creative space. So that is something I really love. I can be maybe stressed or not had a very good day.
Yeah.
Whatever happened or for some reason. Mm-hmm. But the moment I go behind my camera, I'm a happy person and I'm focused. I'm in my space. I don't think of anything else. I'm thinking of what I'm doing right now and it's photos and they gotta be good.
Wow.
So that's what, and, one thing, of course, there is no, it's not that much, it's not 100%.
Yeah.
There is no, 100% satisfaction in, creativity because you have many people also that, for example, your client, let's say, they say, no, we need a photo like this.
Mm.
So you also have to go with what the client wants, not just within your creative space. Because if I'm a creative person, I want to take these abstract pictures and, but the client wants these wide shots. And so you have to now mix. Yeah. And really get your art, correctly and impress the client so that tomorrow they call you again.
Or refer you to someone.
Of course. Yes.
Nice.
And the photography it's like someone who, it's like a mechanic. Who fixes cars or someone who builds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously I would say, I'm looking for someone who is good in this and this. And it's like, it's by word of mouth. So you'll be referred and like, oh, hi, Apsai. I got your number from who. They were very happy with your pictures and I would like to have you on the, I mean, I would like to give you this job.
Of course.
So yeah.
Imagine. Nonetheless, we're just getting started and the story is already getting interesting or is interesting. But we have a scheduled commercial break coming up. Let's pause right here, take a musical break, but we'll be back shortly. Don't go anywhere right here on Live Lessons.
Get ready to embrace a world of possibilities at the University of Namibia with a community of ambitious students, researchers and innovators. Shape your future with a wide range of programs in agriculture, engineering, natural sciences, commerce and management, law, education, human sciences, health sciences or veterinary medicine. Apply online at unam.edu.na. UNAM, open your mind.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
I'll smile, I know what it takes to fool this town. I'll do it till the sun goes down and all through the night time. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'll tell you what you wanna hear. Get my sunglasses on while I shed a tear. It's never the right time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm moving.
I'm moving on, so you
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk to God, go banging on his door.
You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock.
Yeah.
You can move a mountain, you can break rocks.
You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself.
Standing in the hall. And the world's gonna know your name. You can run the mile. You can walk straight through hell with a smile.
You could be the hero. You could get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke.
Yeah, do it for your people. Do it for your pride. And you're never gonna know if you never even try.
Do it for your country. Do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're
standing in the hall of fame.
Yeah.
And the world's gonna know your name.
We are back. Like I said, you are tuned into Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station, that is Eagle FM. Now, this is a talk radio station. And this show, Life Lessons, we talk about life so we can draw lessons from people's lives. If it's a positive angle, well, so we can also emulate it and live. So it can be an example for us in living that example. If it's a negative one, then, well, so we can learn and avoid making the same mistakes. All in all, life lessons. So welcome. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about media and photography with my guest, Abisai Haidua. Now, Abisai, let's talk about you are admiring this beautiful job from a distance, mm-hmm. not knowing that you're going to be in the very same shoes, right?
Yeah.
How many years do you think it took for that to actually materialize? I don't think it's the other word. To become true, to actualize. I think it's that one.
A dream come
yeah,
true.
Yeah, exactly.
So, before I went into of course I started off in photography, mm-hmm. NowaZone.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after NowaZone, I did multimedia, so put me in the photography space, I'll rock it. Put me in the creative space mm-hmm. of graphic design, I'll rock it. Give me digital marketing, of course, social media management, I'll rock it. So I went after NowaZone, I went to NMH. Namibia Media Holdings back
okay.
then.
Mm-hmm.
I think, of course, it's still NMH, but I think they have rebranded slightly. So
There I used to do photography, graphic design, but mainly employed as a brand photographer. So I was actually Namibia Media Holdings photographer. Graphic designer. In-house graphic designer. Of course, there is, as we know, Namibia Media Holdings have various
departments
and newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to now collaborate with those colleagues that are working at Namibian Sun,
mm-hmm.
Algemeen Zeitung, and Republican, and Windhoek Express, and. So okay. I assist them now with, for example, if there was maybe, of course, it's time bound.
Yeah.
Working in a media space, it's time bound. So you have to be moving faster.
Up to date.
Yes, you have to be moving up to date because you are also not alone in your space. You also have other institutions. It's a competitive space, like I said.
It
so
is.
You must do your job properly on time and you got to be good. So
exactly, that's
yeah.
true. That's
I went to now NMH and as we work on the paper every day, there's this thing where you have to look at the paper before it goes out to the readers. I mean, I'm the one publishing it.
Yeah,
it, so.
You're actually reminding me of my colleague who does that here. And
I'm seeing the paper before the readers, but I'm pretending I did not see anything. Yes, so I then saw this position, this vacancy. Because I don't know, it's of course, it's proven that young people tend to switch between jobs every after 5 years. That's out there. It's something I've come across. Because
okay.
I used to wonder about myself, what is this thing of me? When as soon as it's almost 5 years, you are tired of this space and you want
something new. You
yes,
need something.
You want to. You want something. You want some new energy,
exactly.
actually.
Yeah.
And something more challenging.
Mm.
For me, I used to look at it in that space that I'm done here. I need something more challenging. So what is next? So you keep now looking around into your, in the industry to check where do I want to be next? And then, of course, the NMH was the best for me. But then while I was there, I said, okay, now I think I'm done here. So I need something, I need more fire.
Yeah.
So then I found an advert in the newspaper.
Okay.
It's saying, Jake, we're looking for an official photographer in its office of the president. I took a chance. I didn't tell anyone, actually. And I didn't even... Normally, we tell each other's colleagues, guys, look at this.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say anything. I just looked at it, and then I applied, of course. I did the form, of course, the government form. But I then... because I didn't want them to see that I'm leaving.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. So I gave it to the receptionist to do everything for me and fill it in. And because I've been contemplating whether I should go, I should not. And then I gave that envelope to the receptionist and I told her, please do this and I'll come and pick it up on my way out. So, yeah, so I think I was probably the last person to hand in that application form because deadline, I handed it in on the last day of the deadline,
mm-hmm.
cut off time,
yeah.
And I gave it to, of course, I came to State House, I think 11:30, and 12 o'clock was cut off time,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I gave it in, and it took a few years, not years, it took about a year and a few months.
Oh, my word.
Without hearing from them. But I was not too concerned about it. Cause,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was not too concerned about it.
You're not in a rush?
Not at all. I'm happy where I am, although I still wanted to move.
Yeah.
But eventually I moved from NMH. I found something one day. I'm getting a call. I'm getting a call from Germany via... I'm getting a call from Hamburg.
You should see how I'm like, they should see how my face is. Yeah.
No, I'm like, getting a call from Hamburg. Yeah. The person introduced himself. No, my name is and I'm
does it sound, from. Was it like a Namibian name?
No, it's not a Namibian company even.
Oh, okay.
It's a company based in Germany, but of course they received or they've got received it or they got a tender from GIZ, which is GIZ is based in here in Namibia. Of course, on working on various projects, obviously. So they got that job. It was to open up a startup industry in Namibia. That ecosystem of startups to just empower them, of course, assist them with funding and all of that. And the gentleman asked me, "We have this coming up. We would like to, we have seen your CV, and guess who sent my CV?
The receptionist
later go. my very first boss is the one who sent that CV as a referral that, no, there is this gentleman. Yeah. Maybe you can also talk to him, interview him. And hence that call came through and then we started talking and then these guys say like, okay, I actually like how you are answering the question.
Already?
You got this job. Congratulations.
On the first call?
Of course. You are officially our communication and marketing personnel or communication and marketing it's marketing and communication manager. And I'm like, okay, but I didn't do marketing. I did not do marketing. How am I going to survive in this place? All I know is...
You said you wanted something challenging.
But of course, then that also like upside. Stop it. You got this. Have to go. Yeah. You have to take this offer. And of course, you've been wanting to go. So here it is. Yeah. I mean, it's time to go, for you to go. Now I took it. And then, I've been there for, of course, while still I've applied, I'm still an applicant, or how do you call it?
Mm-hmm.
Applicant
at,
at the State House.
Uh-huh.
I didn't hear from them until that time.
Uh-huh. Hold on. I'm so sorry. Let me ask this.
Mm-hmm.
When you applied to the State House, in your mind, did you think you might get the job or you just taking a shot?
You know, it's more like I use this theory of fishing, where you just have to have patience, and then you whether you've got something or you didn't, it's still okay.
Oh, wow.
You have got nothing to lose, and you just need to look forward again. Whether you get if you get a positive answer, well done. If you didn't get maybe you got a letter of regret.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we regret to inform you you didn't get this. Maybe try again next time.
Yeah.
at least I'm like, yeah, you, at least you have made yourself,
you put
yourself out there and they've seen what you are capable of. They've seen that there's this person that we might need. So, in other words, you have actually exposed yourself to the market. So they don't throw it out. They just put it aside and see maybe they will, because that's what they say. We'll keep your CV and consider it for any other.
We might need
in case something comes up.
Exactly.
Or what if the person who got it is like, no, this is not something I want.
And then you're the next person in the list.
Person. So, yes.
I like that philosophy of yours.
Yes. So, it's fishing. You need to be patient. You throw the rod in the water. If you get a fish, you got a fish. You didn't get a fish, you try again tomorrow.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, continue where you left off. You were... okay, sorry. No.
I'm getting excited.
No worries. No worries. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you... Oh, now I'm also lost. I'm sorry.
I think we were talking about how I got to State House. Did I expect it?
No.
MNZ?
No, not MNZ. The German company?
GIZ. Of course, we were working.
Now, while you just got appointed.
Yeah.
While waiting.
Yeah.
For the State House.
Yeah.
That's where you left.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So now while I'm at, of course, I didn't work directly with GIZ, but they were our overall, because we were working under them.
Now, we started a company, it's called Startup Namibia. Was also one of the founding employees of Startup Namibia.
I think you've been a founder of many things. Eh?
Absolutely. I'm happy to be part of many things that we just start with. I mean, and then you move and then you.
And when you see the company growing, you drive past by and you're like.
You'll be like, yes.
I was part of the foundation, you know.
Of course, I was a founding employee.
Exactly.
So, yeah, now I've been, now it's Startup Namibia. It's been, I think, just 6 months. And that's the time I was still a trainee. Like I said, marketing was not really my thing. Or I didn't have so much knowledge of, although I have that interest, because if you are a graphic designer, you are close to marketing, you are close to social media management, you should know these things. You are in a new media space, so you should have various skills and then diversify. Yes, you don't just have one. I mean, all your eggs in one basket. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if you are sent to a photography, go. If you are sent to graphic design, you go. So that's how. Yeah. Then 6 months later. When I'm just getting now a hang of my job, I'm loving it. I was just now moving from becoming an actual manager now. And I even started bringing in people that I'm going to be working with at the department. And then I got a call from State House. No, this is who I'm calling you from State House. We would like to invite you for an interview. Now in my, at the same time, I'm shocked because it took so long.
And at
the same time, I'm also excited, but also I'm now regretting I'm leaving this space that I love so much of working with startups. I really loved it. I also learned a lot there, but then, of course you need to move. Onwards and upwards and onwards. So you gotta move.
New challenge, yes, new
challenge,
people.
New space and, I remember now that call, I went home and I'm like, okay, let me, what am I going to do now? Of course, it's State House.
Yeah.
I jumped when I hit, when I hit State House.
Exactly.
Now I probably even dreamt about it. I'm like, you know, when you have, let's say you have had a book, you were studying, you are going to write tomorrow. And then when you go to sleep, You have a playback in your head of
dreams,
things.
Dreams comes also from multitude of thoughts.
Absolutely. So now I'm even telling myself how I'm going to be talking to the president.
Oh, wow.
You know, taking pictures of him. So I'm like, okay, Mr. President this, Mr. President that.
Smile.
So, I went for an interview. We were a lot. It was also very competitive. I don't know how I made it. Next thing I'm being called, please come and sign this and this and that and that. And, of course I went.
Were you a lot?
We were a lot actually at the, and for some reason, everybody knew, I mean, they knew each other. Cause I sneaked out from work to go. I didn't tell them.
Okay.
Yeah. I sneaked out.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going somewhere.
Yeah.
I need,
exactly.
I have something very urgent. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I went, I found everybody seated and I arrived a few minutes to the exact time that we were told. Now everybody is looking at me. It's like, who is that? Who is that? Like, they are talking to each other. I can hear them. The only person.
And I bet you are wearing a suit.
Yeah, of course. No, not even. I didn't even know how the dress code would be and all those things. All I know is that people at State House would wear officially.
Okay.
But I didn't know that you'd be suited up all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now I'm with the colleagues. Of course, we are all interviewees.
Yeah.
Interviewees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they are all looking at me and pointing with me. Like, who is that? I'm like, okay, it's me.
Exactly.
I'm so happy that you are all looking at me like that.
Like and, I'm a threat.
Yeah. And then again, the day of the interview, that was now the day before the actual interview.
Oh, okay.
And also by that time,
I've already gotten, I grasp the space already.
Mm. So because you analyze it, yes, make calculations.
Absolutely. And also just, nice. I have been comfortable already in the media space. So I'm not afraid of interviews anymore.
Me neither.
Bring it on.
Me neither. Me neither.
So yeah. Now,
you know what?
Yeah.
We must challenge each other, you and I. There must be a particular job. Let's see you and I who will get it. I'm most likely to beat you.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing, let's talk about this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed a lot of people, mm-hmm. they can have good qualifications.
Absolutely.
The problem is speaking in an interview.
Yes. They presentation.
Yeah. They become scared of the next person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's, and that's why I'm talking about the colleagues who are all looking at me.
You see?
Like this.
Yeah.
To a point, I even felt a little small.
Because
why are they all putting me on the spot like that? Because I felt a bit bullied. Because, like, why are they doing that to me?
And you'd be surprised they were actually thinking, ooh, he looks like he's got the job. You understand? Because maybe you walked in with confidence. Remember, you're saying
I was relatively calm.
Yeah.
I was just too serious.
Yeah.
And of course, I found them. I don't know how long they've been there, but they've been chatting. And when I got there, I even took a separate, cause now I need to now align myself with State House, right?
Yeah.
The protocols and the what I need to sit like this. I need to talk to people like this. And of course, taking it step by step, you know.
Ah.
So yeah. And then, we got into it next day. When we are all given time slots, I met another lady. She was also a bit bullying me because she's the one who's like, who are you? Where are you from?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, okay, why are you asking me all this? Are you the one in charge?
Yeah.
So then I met her going out and like, and I asked her, how was it? I'm like, oh, hi, yeah, sorry. Good luck. All the best. I'm like, you're not going to threaten me.
Exactly.
So I went in.
But maybe it really didn't go well for her.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So I went in, presented, sat nicely, presented. I felt, a bit, overwhelmed because one person being interviewed by, I think about 6 people, and there are always, one thing I've noticed in interviews, there's always 1 or 2 people that always sit in and watch, take notes, and they're always nodding or their eyes are always glued to you and you're wondering, why are they looking at me like that? But I don't get bothered much. Yeah, I don't get intimidated because I thought maybe they're analyzing either your character, either your
the
way you present yourself, they must have a certain role to play in
what
this.
Language.
So exactly. So that's when I'm like, I'm not going to be bothered by
yeah.
this. Let me do my thing.
Are you lying? Does your body tell?
Yes.
How are you composed?
Do you actually know what you are talking about when you are answering those questions? I think that's what they, and it's mostly people from HR, and if they have an industry or psychologist, then they will have that person in there.
Mm.
So, but that's my theory.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice theory.
So then I'm like, okay, now I'm going to do this. Then next thing, you know what gave me a booster as well, like energized me, you know. It's when I gave my portfolio. Of course, in a creative industry, we call it portfolio because it's not just a CV of words. It should consist of the work you have done previously, the projects you have done, the good ones and the bad ones, of course, that you want to, what you want people to see is what you put in your portfolio. Next thing, and of course, a lot of photos, even photos of myself. And where I'm talking about myself, there's a photo of me as well doing that specific thing. And then,
is this new? Oh, it's been there.
No, it's a portfolio.
It's, okay.
Yes, that's how it's supposed to be. It needs to have photos. It needs to have text, of course, but it's more like a PowerPoint presentation.
And it was color pictures. I'm saying
it's creative. It's it's like a book. It was thick, and you have no idea. I mean, of course, the dollars were not also that's good, so I had to find a way to get that portfolio printed so I can bring it with, because I was not so much into this idea of having a portfolio on a USB and then you're going to present.
You had into the interview.
I had actually 3 copies, but by the, because my idea was to hand them over to the panelists,
okay,
or interviewers, but then I found them because you also included into your application, right? You attach it to your application form. I found they had copies already. Next thing when I said them, like, okay, you can have your water. Thank you very much. By the way, your CV or your portfolio looks really good. I'm like, I think I got this. Yeah,
that was the cherry on top of the cake.
So like, I think I got this. Okay. Now I have the confidence. Yeah, talking and then I answer. I'm like, okay, so what do you use? I use this. So it was excellent.
Nice.
And also I was free because it's something I have done. I think by that time I was already, my math is not so good already, but I think I was already 10 years in the field.
Uh-huh.
So I was not afraid of anything.
Yeah.
I could take any answer or any question. And also, to be honest, if you don't know something, you don't know, but try. Don't just say, I don't know. You must say, I don't know. However, I can try and help you in this and this. And it's also something I've noticed in the corporate world. You call a certain company, you ask a certain question, that person immediately just answers, no, and that's it. Or the person answers, I don't know. And also where I came from, thanks to the previous experiences, you don't just say, I don't know. You must say, I don't know. However, if there is someone you can refer the person or the person that called or the person that needs answers to the next person who might know.
Mm.
That way the person will feel helped or they will feel you are helpful. Because imagine it's yourself, you are calling and then you get a no or you get I don't know.
Mm-mm.
Then why are you working there if you don't know?
Yeah.
Make it your business to know at least. I mean, knowledge is power.
Yeah,
so, true. Yeah. Now, really the interview was excellent and, I came out with confidence as well. Like, okay, I don't want to now, how do you call this, overly excited? Because there is still a lot of people that came before me and there's still people behind me in the time slot. So, let me wait for the feedback.
Yeah.
Next thing, I'm being called. Oof, congratulations. You have got come and pick up your appointment letter.
After how long?
After 7 days, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not bad.
Not that long. So, I mean, then the letter, by the way, the letter says you're starting, and we're already in the middle of the month, and remember, I'm already employed.
Yeah.
And now they want me already at the beginning of the next month, which is September. I mean, now, how do I tell my
boss?
How do I tell this office that I am leaving? And especially that I'm in a managerial position where you have to give a 3 months, is it 2 months or 3 months?
3 months.
Notice.
Yeah.
How am I going to do this now? But I told myself, Absa, you need to just be honest. I went to my boss immediately, of course, with excitement. And I told him, I told her, okay, I have received this great news. I'm going to work at State House and they want me immediately. How do, they're like, oh no, it's State House. You have to go.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So they were also happy for me.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, thank you. At least there's no push and pull and what. It's like, oh, by the way, please go. You like,
oh, wow. Oh,
and all the best. Do your best like you've been doing.
Wonderful.
That. And
in other words, you received their blessings. You went in
absolutely.
Peace.
Yeah. They even threw a party and.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Even though it was really short notice? That's
nice. They were excited. And I think because we are all curious. If you have never been to State House, you'll be curious what actually happens there.
Mm-hmm.
How do people behave? And you also notice it now, especially myself now when I talk to people and say, no, let's say now you get into a vehicle and you say, no, you are dropping me to State House. State House? So, yeah, I don't know. Like, in my mind, I'm like, why are you scared? You're like, But I think it's
so
just...
So you do know us, the public, very well, ne? Like, our reaction.
So now sometimes you don't even want...
It's a big deal.
To, yeah, like, you don't want to say it anymore because even the way the people look at you, if the moment you just mentioned, they really immediately turn and you even see the... attitude changes, and then now you are being treated like you are the president or you are some. No, but no, please don't do that.
Yeah. I think it's the honor that we give the people.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to say this. Namibia is very, of course, peaceful, but also respectful.
Yeah.
Yes, you do have some people who say negative things about our leaders, and it's not that we shouldn't criticize, but criticize respectfully, you know?
In positively,
and positively
mostly.
Also. Yeah. So we have those few ones. I think I want to say few ones, but majority of them, I believe they honor our leaders, you know? They give them respect.
Absolutely.
They really, so it's a big deal when they, when you say state house, it's like, you know, it's a big deal.
Yeah, no,
you know?
It's like, so you talk to the president
exactly.
every day?
So you see the president.
Like, yeah, so, I mean, it's, and I figured it's an excitement and also curiosity, and also just that, respect. It's the highest office on the land.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
I mean, you would understand where the person is coming from or the perspective. So, cause I was also once like that. I remember when I went there for the first time, I'm like, ooh. I'm shaking. I'm like, I'm going to state house.
Yeah.
So,
I think rumors also go around.
Absolutely.
Be on your best behavior. They are gods there. They could just.
That's.
So be that's very what... well. Don't look suspicious. Any small that's... move, quagga. Yeah.
But actually, no.
It's not.
It's a Namibian house.
Exactly.
It's,
right.
Like the former, I mean, the late president used to say every time in his meetings, when he introduces, I mean, when he welcomes people in a meeting, he will be like, "Welcome to State House."
Okay.
The what you call the Namibia, this is a Namibian house.
Oh yes.
Yes. He loved that word. So yeah, it's really that. It's a Namibian house. Mm-hmm. But of course, Even at home, we have, as children, you got to respect your parents. You don't just rock up like that. You need to be respectful.
It's just like the master bedroom.
If a door is closed, you don't just go in there.
Mm-hmm.
You knock, you get permission.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's how it's supposed to be. And that's what it should be.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Otherwise, we will not be having order. It's going to be chaos everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I think I also want to take this time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, to really appreciate our state house.
Yeah.
Let me put it like that. But, yeah. You know, to appreciate it.
Yeah.
And those, and I think whoever crafted the rules or made it not lenient per se, but made it accessible to the Namibians. You understand?
It's a Namibian
I don't
house.
Think, I do remember of a story that I read long time ago.
Mm.
Was it in, yeah, but it was a while ago, quite some years ago, of a Namibian person who came close to state house in a particular country. I can't remember the country, and was taking pictures.
Mm.
And before he knew it,
cops are all over
him. Yeah.
Yes.
And they confiscated his phone.
Of course.
So,
you are not supposed to do that. I mean, rules are rules.
Yeah.
And also, if you may have noticed when you go drive around state house, there are notices. Here you may not do this, you may not do that. And one of them is like no photographs.
Yeah.
What are you doing with the photographs?
Mm.
There are photographers in there who are designated to do that job.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you have gotten permission, but you don't just show up and do what you want to do.
Mm.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, but then also now, at all state houses in other countries, can individuals, Namibians, just show up and say, yeah. Or just for curiosity's sake, do you think it's like that?
it's different.
It's a bit. It's more much more stricter.
So. Yeah, based on my experience, I mean, you even find people telling you, "My goodness, we drive around just to appreciate State House." It's not the same in some countries.
Yes.
So, I mean, we have to also what you call it, appreciate that you'll be able to come closer and have a look. And also it's not in my space to speak about this, but it's public information, mm-hmm. where you have to, you can visit State House. We've been having a couple of schools, especially schools, not much of families as well, actually, but you have to, there's information. If you call the public relations desk at State House, and they will give you that guidance of how to visit mm-hmm. State House, whether you are in a group of maybe a class, which I love, by the way, when the kids come there, they really, it's also inspiring inspirational to them, because, I mean, those are our future ministers and the future presidents and the future leaders as well. So one of them is that person. One day they'll be like, I was once here when I was in grade 5.
Imagine. Or when I was in.
So, this is also just a call out that, I mean, to teachers and families, like, please accord your children and the learners that opportunity to just visit State House, and also not just State House, school tours to
museums.
Look at these places and have the kids exposed to these things and not just be hearing these things, like what we were just joking about, that the police, if you walk around, you know, something. It's not
a myth.
It's not that brutal. It's not like that. Mm-hmm. People shouldn't be scared like that. But of course, I don't want to go in details,
I hear you.
It needs to, order is order.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Another aspect I would also want to appreciate is the fact that we can engage with our ministers.
Absolutely.
Engage with our leaders. You can literally talk to them.
Yeah.
I have friends from abroad.
Yeah.
And they say, happy, here you're not even, you can't come close. You are a threat already, you know, but
yeah, based on my experience, and coming back to the media landscape in Namibia, of course we rank, I think, number 2 in Africa, and
we are number 38 in the world.
Yeah. Is it? Yes. So that speaks to our press freedom in the country.
Yes.
But also that freedom, I feel, that's now my opinion and it's my experience. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we abuse it.
Thank you. I agree. I couldn't.
We abuse that privilege. And when someone knocks on your hand, you're like, hey, what do you think you're doing? That's when you come in with your manipulative, tendency, like, yeah, what happened to press freedom? What? We're like, no, you are abusing.
You're calling
it
for attention.
Exactly. You are abusing that privilege. Of course, our leaders are people that listen. You can engage them even not just physically. You can even engage them on social media. They will immediately respond. So that's something we should be grateful for, but also not to abuse the freedom that we have been given. Because once it's taken away, imagine how we're going to be, we will not be able to practice our trade as it's supposed to be anymore. Mm-hmm. And remember, we are the fourth estate. Mm-hmm. So we are supposed to also help in shaping democracy.
Absolutely.
And, be informative, educational, and as well as entertaining, but there are times where we cross that line. I'll bring you back to my photography job, for example, when I'm with when we are at events. Mm-hmm. I've seen worse than what we have here in Namibia. In Namibia, we are free to do our job, execute our duties as media personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But in other countries, you'll be placed so far away from the president, even your president that you came with, you traveled with, you are placed so far away that you don't even have access to them. So,
serious?
Yes, but here you have not even a cell phone is allowed. But here in Namibia, you are even allowed to take pictures with the cell phones.
Record,
but myself as an official photographer,
mm-hmm.
which what I don't appreciate amongst ourselves, and I must really bring this out,
mm-hmm.
I do not appreciate people coming to national events with cell phones and pretend, I mean, not pretend, but you want to tell me that you are a professional or you are a journalist. There's a difference. When you have a camera, a professional camera,
mm-hmm.
and when you have a cell phone, there's really a difference, because a cell phone, anybody owns a cell phone and anybody can take pictures. But you as a trained professional in that field, you know exactly what angles to capture, what exactly you should reveal in the picture, and all. But the way we are doing it, you are up in the face of the person you told to be like.
Of a leader.
You are even actually busting the security bubble. You are not supposed to be there. It's you, maybe there's, I even saw sometime a guideline of how media, a bunch of rules of what you should, how you should behave,
yes,
and,
should conduct
and
yourself.
What distance you should be. It's about some 100 or 150 meters. Can you imagine how long that is?
Mm.
But you would find in Namibia with your cell phone, you'll come closer, as close as five is even a lot, maybe 1 meter. And when for example our security personnel tap on you, and they don't do it in a harsh manner unless you are being rebellious, of course, unless you are being troublesome, because they are doing their job, you are doing your job.
Mm-hmm.
We meet at some point because we are there to all fulfill our tasks.
Yeah.
But you doing that, you are failing the security personnel. You are making them look like they are not doing their job. That's why they are moving in to say, hey, please, can you kindly step back? You are too close, or you are not allowed to step here. The immediate question, I see it a lot. The immediate answer is, yeah, why must I be here? Why should I not be here? This is our president.
What happened to press freedom?
Yes. But you are already ruining it for everyone, because everybody is supposed to do their job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I appreciate that point you brought up.
Yes, and I sometimes even myself, because I use a bigger camera, I need space. You would find at times where you are doing a group photo, for example, these people are sticking out cell phones, even going ahead. They keep moving forward. I'm like, you tap on their shoulder, like, please, can we all stand at the same level? I think that's why, at State House, there's certain journalists, not every journalist come to State House, because they should be accredited. And those that are accredited to come to State House, they know what the rules are, the do's and don'ts. And if you doing something, and then I think you are just abusing the rules, or you are abusing the privilege.
Mm-hmm.
So that's now what we say. Let's share the space as media people, because I'm an official photographer. You are a journalist. You probably just need one photo of the president, or you need a photo of the officials doing a signing or something, or cutting a ribbon.
Yeah.
You just need that shot. But as for me, my task is different. I have to document everything that is happening. But now you are also in my space, and I'm not going to be very nice to you that moment, because you are disrupting myself, or you are disrupting me from doing my job. But I'm also being mindful of you that, okay, because I also have privileges, but I don't exercise them against you, and I don't abuse them, and I don't even shrub them in your face.
Mm-hmm.
I try to stay on the same bench that you are sitting, is where I'm sitting. But I know very well that I'm supposed to even, you know,
move around.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, just to accommodate others as
formality.
Well. The last thing you want is to take a photo. As a creative person, of course, because creativity also is the one that leads the work that we are doing. The last thing you want is someone also with a camera, with their tripod in your photo. man, you are being destructive. You want to give me work again to go and crop you out, and sometimes it's not even possible, and you are ruining it for me.
Let me repeat, you want to give me work again to go and crop you out?
No, I don't have that time. And like I said, our job is time bound. So, and also one thing I should bring out, as an official photographer for state, is not an easy job. There are a lot of challenges involved, but you just have to navigate through them, make the best out of it, and eventually you form a gold bar out of all that.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. And take good pictures like you do.
Of course.
Yeah.
But one thing I don't, like I said, I even mentioned about satisfaction in the job earlier. It's not really that much satisfaction, because you have to take that photo and you need that handshake, and you need to send it immediately. You don't have that luxury of going to sit behind the computer like our commercial photographers do. After an event, I know I was there as well in that space of commercial photography, where you tell the people, you receive your photos. I was like, you receive your photos after 7 working days? Because you need to allow time to sit behind the computer, analyze the pictures,
edit,
what's most importantly, edit them, add some quality to them, of course. But in this job, you have to do it now. You have to you need to know what you are doing. You need to know your techniques. Your camera settings gotta be sharp. You need to decide fast. You need to be very decisive when you are taking these pictures, because you know that this photo is needed in the next 30 minutes or in the next hour. You have to produce. You have to give this out. And not just to, for example, the guest that came to visit the president. You also need to take care of your media, colleagues who were not there. That's why we have these platforms of sharing these pictures and the statements, and also just a short summary of what has happened. Back to the journalists, so that they can also inform the public accordingly and accurately.
Yeah.
So you have to be timely, because also you must bear in mind that a newspaper and television, they don't have this thing. Or if a news is playing at 8 o'clock, you don't have this thing of, no, we apologize, we'll bring you news at 8:30 because we are waiting for ABC. No, you have to do it now. You stick to your time. It's the same with the newspaper as well. I know that pressure in the newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you see sometimes people do not show up, and that's why we are there as official photographers, to make sure that we also share that content. But when I share something terrible, that's a bad word.
Hopefully you will not share something terrible.
But in my heart, I'm like, no, but I should have edited it like this. And, but you don't have that luxury. So you share it the way you took it. So you just make sure that it's a good photo and it goes. So we don't really have that luxury of editing. Sometimes it's there, but most of the times, I would say 95%, you don't have time to edit.
Yeah.
So you have to take it as it is from the camera, straight from the camera to the publisher or to whatever, or to social media. So if you see them with a little bit of haze and all that, please don't judge me. Yeah. I'm just trying to
to release it on time.
Yes, and also to help you.
Yeah.
We are helping one another.
Of course.
Here.
I mean, I could be sitting in the production room, preparing for news exactly, since I read news at 1.
Absolutely.
From 1 to 2:30 on the reader news analysis. I need that.
You need
now.
It. You
I need it now. At least by 12, I need to have it. And I can't, I need to read the news now, and I need to also, and of course my editor probably also needs to publish it now.
Yeah.
Right at that moment, because otherwise tomorrow is old news. And nobody wants to read.
It's old news. Cause old news. I mean, as we have in the media space, of course, it's not old news until you read it or until you get your hands on it. But there are news which are time bound.
Exactly.
That's why we have breaking news. And I also want to now imagine that's why some people use, most of our colleagues in the media space use cell phones, because they want to break. But then that's where we also sometimes, break the media rules, like the ethics and all of that. Because one of the best example that I can bring up is during the inauguration. During the inauguration of the president Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwa, we were supposed to go to the stadium. Oh, so looking forward to that.
Aww, when the, for the
when
pictures.
She's going to drive around and wave.
Yeah.
And so I was already imagining how I'm going to get this Madam President in the pictures, in the public excited. Because the excitement, I must tell you, the excitement was all over everybody. And not just in Namibia, I think in the worldwide as well.
All eyes on Namibia. President.
Yeah, of course. So I was really excited, but at the same time also nervous, but only nervous to not mess it up for myself.
Yeah.
I was nervous that I gotta be good. I have to do it so well. And yes, so it didn't happen. We were told the last minute, no,
yeah.
There's going to be heavy rain. So please, the ceremony, the inauguration
ceremony,
it was going to be moved to State House. Next thing, of course, we were too busy, but then when we came to later review the news, it's captions all over, pictures and videos, all chaos at State House. What the people are not Aww. Able to move. But then also you are reporting only the negative thing, but you are also not telling people exactly why that happened.
Exactly.
So sometimes we also, in the media space, we have what do you call this, being biased, because we are pushing a certain agenda.
Thank you.
Yes,
let me come in there. I call it, and I will not go back to my words. I deliberately and boldly see some media houses are turning into gossip columns.
Absolutely.
I will not go back to my word.
Yeah, no,
I refuse. I'll stand on my ground to see, you know, people want to align with a media house that is credible, factual, truthful. And I know those words mean one thing, but yeah.
You know, a very good example, I've heard a couple of people talking. I happen to be part of the conversation, although not as an active participant.
Yeah.
People are saying, no, people are reporting, and it's people who are not believing what they saw or what they read. People are reporting that this and this and this, but this certain paper and this certain platform,
yes,
they just run their things without
verification.
Probably verification. But you know what I do? And I loved hearing that actually.
Okay.
You know what I do? I look at this and then I go to check on another broadcaster, and I go and check at another paper to really see the angle of reporting. If it's the same, then it's true. If it's not, then you just throw salt and spices in it to make it look terrible, but it's actually not terrible. But also that has a very negative impact as well, because, let's say you're talking about corruption. You find people saying all government officials are corrupt.
Yeah.
Based on what exactly?
Exactly.
Did you see everyone participating into corruption? Or you say, government officials are lazy. They don't do their work. We are here breaking our backs to make sure that you get quality. Of course, there are a few that do that. But we are here breaking our backs to make sure that you get quality and on time, accurately, so that you are well informed, so that we debug that what was mentioned earlier, that this the negativity must be less. So we focus more on the positive side than the negative side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting conversation that we're getting into. Let's pause here for a scheduled commercial break. We'll be back to continue. Stay tuned right here on Life Lessons. We're not going anywhere.
Hello Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
Now, Abisai, interestingly, some media houses and some journalists, some editors, believe that negative sells. Yes, negative can sell, right? But only also for a limited time, because with time, people lose trust in you. You understand? So much can go to an extent where you need guests to come into the station, or you need up to write a story, and you need a second voice, or you need a voice on it. And people would deliberately say, no, I'm too busy. I don't have time. You understand? Because people weigh, but they also notice media houses who are not gossip columns, who are factual. You know, before something actually goes on air, is weighed. Is it truthful? And if it's something negative, at least where you have, I think if you have a journalist, let's say, for instance, I don't want to make that example of myself. No, God, I'm not going to. Okay. So if you have a journalist who's negative, right? And doesn't have a wise, discerning editor who thinks beyond that, post that they're going to put up and get a lot of likes and comments and shares, right?
Yeah.
Then you get two people. This one, just because they saw some negative news about this and that, and then send it to the editor. And the editor is like, oh, yes, this is interesting. People are going to get talking, you know? Instead of the editor, so the, and then that goes out, right?
Yeah.
But then when you get, for instance, a journalist who picks up some negative news, right?
Yeah.
And the editor says, what are we benefiting from that?
Yeah.
You get. And then it stays there. It never gets out there.
It never gets out, yeah.
That editor is protecting the media house in the long run. Because remember, we also need guests to come and speak. We also need voices of people. We, you know, it's a media house.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the moment you're breaking the trust between you and the people and the public, it's going to affect you in the long run.
It definitely will. A very good example is when, I mean, I want to say it in this way that, for example, you run a, like that, what people called chaos at State House during the inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
And no, we are not allowed to do this. We were blocked out at the gate and what. But they are also not talking about why that happened.
Yes.
We know, we all know very well why.
We had heavy rain. 2 days prior to that, before, I'm so sorry. It's an interesting story for me as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think two days prior to that, we had heavy rainfall, right?
Yeah.
We had people being displaced from certain areas, and I think they to go to the outskirts of Horiakhap, something like that.
Absolutely.
But it was devastating.
Yeah.
And then we had weather forecasters coming in and predicting that. If you go to the stadium, what do you call that?
The Independence Stadium.
The Independence Stadium.
Yeah.
And the heavy rainfall breaks out. Imagine what are you going to do with all this, many people. Namibians?
Yeah.
And at that point, they are going to be vulnerable. Why?
Yeah.
They are so far from home. Yes. And most of them don't have public transport.
Absolutely.
Majority of them. Most of them can't even afford to take a cab back home. You understand? Yeah.
But they wanted to be part of the ceremony, to see with their own eyes and enjoy that moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
But because of the forecast,
yes,
we need to be realistic, you know? Otherwise, I did a course in disaster management, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what we always say? Prevention is better than cure.
Absolutely.
You rather predict something and see that this is going to be negative and avoid chaos that's going to come up.
Absolutely.
Then just test the waters. Let's just do it. And we'll cross
then,
the bridge
and then it. And then the worst happens and then you'll be like,
and then you don't
we
know.
Shouldn't have done
exactly.
ABC. And that's also where your credibility goes down the drain, because you're like, what kind of people are these? What kind of organization is this even? Like, you know, a lot will pop up.
A lot of people will be talking.
Yes.
Right? If the disaster had happened, outsiders will be talking.
Absolutely.
Which kind of president, and who's advising the president?
Yes.
Which kind of president puts their people out there? You know the story of the donkey and the men, you know. So at the end of the day, I guess people always talk, right?
Yeah.
No, but the truth prevails always. Anyway.
Yeah. So it's really when I just feel when you are covering news, I feel we don't really balance, but like you said, negative news sales, of course, but sales and up to what extent? Are you also looking at the bigger picture? For example, the damage you are causing, the distrust that you are causing in the public space, because your job, your mandate as a journalist is to inform, to educate, and also to entertain. What did you do in those three things when you reported about these certain things, but you didn't tell the people the why? You only told them about the what and the who, but you didn't say the why. I think we need to have a balance when we are doing our work, and that speaks to our profession. But that also, I see so many things, and I want sometimes even want to question this certain newsroom, like what kind of people are sitting in there?
Yeah.
Is it like a gossip? Because you are conducting yourself like that. You're conducting yourself like you are some coast people that just run their mouths on things that they don't even know, they don't have facts on. But you don't know that you are powerful. You are powerful as a media personnel.
Exactly.
Because you are, remember in the leadership pillars, you are called the fourth estate.
Yes.
That's why you are always acknowledged at official settings, at the protocols, when the protocols are set, distinguished member of the media. It's always mentioned.
Yes.
You are never left out at all. That means you are part of it, because when it comes to governance, you are shaping democracy, really. And you are doing that by sharing accurate information. You are doing that by educating people and by not causing chaos, and not causing fear, not causing distrust. But if you look at, if you try to analyze, especially now that there's social media, which is very good, but it came with a lot of negativity as well. Because you have verified and qualified journalists, and then you have these ones that are self-taught. I'm not saying that being self-taught is a bad thing, but as long as you are doing it within the guidelines of what that trade is meant to be, it's a pity that in our field, especially in the creative field, we don't have, what is this called? You don't join a certain association that gives you the guidelines. Like, for example, if you behave in a certain way, your license will be revoked. Like, in the medical practitioners.
Thank
and
you.
The engineers.
You know what? You're touching on a very beautiful topic
that
I discussed. I think it was a Monday on the reading news analysis.
Yeah.
And, I was engaging, the ombudsman, Mr. Baselis Diakuga.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I asked him the same question.
Yeah.
Right. And I also had a conversation with the media ombudsman, that is Mr. Sadrach Shiomeka. And I said, shouldn't perhaps media, because we're talking about media and ethics, shouldn't then we perhaps have a regulating body?
Body.
Like the Health Professions
yes,
Council of Namibia?
Really? I think that is something I would also, I think I've been engaging.
Advocate for, right?
Yes, oh, really.
Yes.
Because no, we are too, I know we,
we're too lenient, too comfortable.
And we are being chaotic.
Yes, oh,
and we
are
also causing
too.
Chaos at the
yes.
same time. Which is not necessary. Mm-mm. Because remember, this is your country. It's our country. It's our beautiful country. Let that standard remain. Where people say, wow, Namibia is a peaceful country.
And I think what they don't realize also, what yeah. most people don't realize is that whatever negative you put out there, right?
Yeah.
The people here at home, majority of the people may actually have a different impression because they're right at home.
Yeah.
But somebody in America,
they'll be like, oh my goodness, what's going on there?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I was like, no, I don't want to go there.
Exactly.
But actually what they see, what they hear is not actually what they're going
it's
to
not
get.
It's not fractal. Yeah,
exactly.
Fractal.
So it's, I think we really need to maybe, I don't know how, but.
I think it's doable.
Yeah, we
it
need
just
to,
requires people in the media
we need voices to,
yes, to actually get up and
really
put it to work.
Put it to work. Because imagine now we all have operating licenses as individuals, right? Mm-hmm. As professionals, you are now certified and qualified to do this certain job.
Yeah.
You don't want to ruin it for yourself because that's the end of your career.
Exactly.
Because let's say it's an accountant. And that accountant doesn't do what they are supposed to, because they also belong to a certain
regulatory body
that it's to make sure that whatever you do is within the standards and the guidelines, and you have to uphold to that, just like the medical
fraternity
which they even take an oath, the lawyers, they take an oath. That this, that.
Mm.
It's to make sure that what you're doing, you remain professional. You don't hear a gossip of people in a taxi or in some way. They are talking and then you decide, because you don't have stories, you decide to bring it as a news piece. What kind of professional are you?
And you know, to add on that,
yeah.
Do you know that the health profession, apart from having a regulatory body, they have to attend this, what you call it, CPD points.
Yeah.
So every now and then they have to attend training or an educative something, and then they acquire CD points.
Yeah.
To that. So in other words, you are forced, which is a good thing, to attend some sort of training to keep yourself on what's relevant now, what's yeah. outdated now. Perhaps just an example, I want to use a more practical example. Like, for instance, maybe before, let's say those who are paramedics, it was so established that when you maybe do an intubation while the patient is lying on the floor or in the car where they had an accident, after some time now, it had been weighed that it should be done like this. We shouldn't put up, let me make a more practical example. Maybe like a neck collar, right? You know, before, neck collar was seen as something to assist somebody when they probably had an injury of the neck. But now studies are revealing that it causes more trauma. So they are removing it. Now, if you graduated 10 years ago, and you have not gone for training.
For constant training. Yeah.
You don't know what research has brought out now, what is now new, what
the
is
new
modern.
Findings, yes.
You'll continue to do the old thing.
Absolutely.
It's the same with media.
Yeah. Now, let's go back to the, you know, cameras. Cameras are also a technology that evolves or that... what is the right word? We use evolve for now.
Yeah, okay.
It grows that, for example, a very good example is we had, analog photography where you have to develop these photos in a dark room, and you have to be good.
Mm.
You develop these pictures in a dark room. You make sure that your film is not exposed to so much light. You go into this dark room and you now start to run your film, that strap into these various chemicals in order for you to develop a photo, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we have passed that stage. I am sure most of people don't even, or especially the upcoming ones, don't even know analog photography anymore, that it used to be done like that. Mm. Now you have digital. It's made even better and easier. And I, like I said, things are always made. I mean, whatever new development comes is based on the previous product.
Yeah.
And also the review of the users or the customers. No, this takes us so much time. I mean, we need to produce news now. And also even newspapers, newspapers used to take, was it 2 days to get the news of us talking on radio right mm-hmm. now? It will be published, I think today is, today's Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It will be published on Monday. But now we have even social media. It will be right there. Immediately, it will even go live as I am right now. So, I mean, in real time. So that's improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the cameras. You now have digital cameras where you can, and now they even brought this new technology of Wi-Fi from the camera to your phone or to your computer or to whatever, so that when you are taking these pictures, they immediately load onto a certain platform where if you are lucky to have someone who edits, that person is already, as the moment you take a photo, it goes straight to the phone or to the device, computer maybe,
mm-hmm.
and they can quickly pick the best ones and then they send in real time. I mean, it's also the same. I can do that as well with my camera and my cell phone.
Yeah.
So if you are seeing me taking pictures and I'm constantly looking on my phone, I'm not chatting. I'm not being disrespectful of the current setting, or I'm not disrespecting the protocols.
Yeah.
I'm working.
Mm.
I'm working. I'm downloading my pictures. I'm already looking at them on my phone so that I can make sure that I assist my media colleagues.
Yeah.
I make sure that the president's platforms have been updated on time, so that the person who is, because we also have this thing we call the digital divide. As much as technology is evolving, not everybody has access to it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Someone at the village who is herding cattle is only listening to radio. So, now it's even more, you are lucky now that technology has evolved, that if you are live on television, you'll be live on social media, and you that same audio will be patched to radio as well, so the person can be able to listen in, and you even have a good advantage when the person, if the people are depending on the radio, of course, we have indigenous languages.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Kwekwe Kwab, the people will be, the presenter will now now they are doing ABC.
Yes.
And it's supported by television that is in the studio,
mm-hmm.
and the audio that he's getting. So he or she is now translating, narrating a picture to you.
That's happening at
exactly.
that time.
So it's technology. It's evolving, and it's everywhere. We just need to help to create a balance,
mm-hmm.
especially like I mentioned, the digital divide. That's where you now need to create a balance. For example, for myself, when I take pictures,
mm-hmm.
I'll be loading them to the social media platform. I'll share with the media colleagues, or media houses. And I'll share with, I'll load them onto the website. It might take someone some time to get access to those pictures. But if you are listening to radio, you are watching TV, you'll be able to follow. And tomorrow immediately, you'll also be able to see these pictures so that you are able to see what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
So information is power.
Exactly.
And, I think we need to continue doing our job. We really do play a very vital role in the society.
Indefinitely.
The problem comes when we, because obviously there will always be those negative things, but then you find someone when they don't, because not all of us are tech savvy, And also not all of us know how to navigate in the media landscape.
Yeah.
Because you, the first news that you get, whether it's good or negative, you consume. And then you're like, oh, no, man, these people are so corrupt.
You know what?
And that's what you go with.
Yeah, that's yeah. true. That's true. Mm-hmm. I think I wouldn't want to let you go without asking this question. Mm-hmm. How do you feel, right, mm-hmm. When you take pictures? Mm-hmm. Let me be, give an example. For example, the pictures you took of President Etubanandi Ndaito wearing her satin blue dress at the opening of Parliament. How do you feel this year? How do you feel when those pictures go viral and everybody's sharing them? You know, everybody's putting them on their Facebook, on their status, on their Instagram.
Yeah.
And, you know, how does that make you feel? Like thousands of Namibians are doing it.
You know what? Back then I was one of those first people that will rush to the platforms to go check, oh, how is my work doing? And how did I do? Because it's only there that you'll be able to get that that feedback.
Mm.
So it means if a photo is going circulating around, if it's going viral, I mean, you did a good job. But one thing I should say myself as an official photographer, I would never take a photo of the president picking her nose. I would never take a photo of the president drinking. I would never. Those are things that we should know. But then you find these people that you are working with, they do that. For
lack
example, why
ethics.
Are you doing that?
Should I put it like that?
Yes.
You know, I'm so sorry. This is my favorite topic. I told you, right?
It's okay.
You know, I like how you put your name to say, I, Abisai, would not, ne?
No, I would not. I do something.
And
like
let
that.
Me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
I in that fire,
yeah.
There are certain things that I would never do as a journalist.
Yeah.
Because my level of ethics,
yes.
integrity
Absolutely.
Is quite high.
Yes.
You know, when you do something that is compromising your media ethic, or compromising media ethic, it carries your name.
Absolutely.
And you know, with social media, social media doesn't forget. If it's something negative that goes out there and it has your name on it, it'll always be there.
It'll always be there.
So I think it's something that we need to ponder on and think about. You understand?
Absolutely.
We need to be, we need to have some sort of integrity in what we're doing.
Mm.
I mean, you never know. You could find yourself in this referral. Going to America to interview President Donald Trump, for instance.
Absolutely.
But it's because of the way you carried yourself
yes.
in the very particular job or opportunity that's been given to you.
Absolutely. So that really, it speaks to our professional conduct. Because, like I said, what are you looking for? Or, for example, the president is getting out of the vehicle. You are running immediately. Pia, 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 pia. What are you going to use those photos for?
I mean, you wouldn't even want to take a picture of your parents in their most vulnerable state.
Absolutely. And why?
These are elders.
Yeah. Yes. So also, I think the respect, we whatever we do, also mm-hmm. put a human factor to your profession.
Yeah.
I like using the word that says, it's one of my motto is mm-hmm. that don't just do something for sake of doing it, to make sure that you're to just to do your job. Think of it in the long run now. That picture, would you want to see it tomorrow? When it goes out there. And also when you are doing your work, do it with passion. I think we need to be driven by passion when you are doing our work.
Yeah.
Because, there's a difference between someone who does something with passion and someone who is just doing it to get a dollar, to be able to bring a bread to the table or to using it as survival mode. So there is a deep, because one has a human factor to it and that caring spirit to it. But then you have his person, be like, whatever, man. I'm like, why did she pick her nose while I was taking a picture? Couldn't you wait?
Exactly.
Because, I mean, that it's a human. You are human. Would you want that for yourself? And also sometimes the things that we publish on our social media platforms, trolling and all that. I attended a lecture by one of the South African Digital Law Society. Mm. Her name is Emma Sadlier. She was brought here by, I think, Standard Bank. So she was like, it's about sharing content on social media.
Okay.
The moment you share it, whether it's published by Ndafa or it's published by Upsai, the moment you share it, you own it. Yes, because you agree with what is happening there. But why would you share things that are damaging?
And verify.
And yes. And also that if you can't say it in public, if you don't want to see it on a billboard, then don't say it. It's really our professional conduct and also the presentation. Remember, the wheel is round.
Mm-hmm.
Where you are, you may not be there tomorrow. You might want to go somewhere else. But because I've seen your work, I've seen, the way you conduct yourself, you think I would recommend you for a job? Or you think I would want you to have as a colleague? No. Because I don't want a troublesome person.
Exactly.
That will cause trouble. And are you here to play or you are here to work?
Interestingly, about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It was run about the time before I went to university to pursue, a career in health.
Mm.
And there was this, what do you call it now? Law firm.
Law firm, yeah.
That I potentially could have become, an employee there.
Mm.
And the lady told me, asked me, what's your Facebook account?
Yeah.
I was surprised. That was the first time I realized.
Yeah.
Whatever you put on your Facebook, make sure that
it's something you'll be able to to speak for.
Exactly.
Yes. So it's the same with you are reminding me one day I traveled to, President Mbumba,
mm-hmm.
when he was a vice president.
Mm-hmm.
We traveled to Sweden,
yeah.
on official mission. And, officials there, in Sweden. And the staff, one of them, I don't know what kind of role she does, but she came, she recognized me immediately. But not because we have met before, not because she knows me. It's because she saw me. She profiled me already. So she's like, oh, you must be Upsai. You must be Upsai. And then I looked at her and then, because she was so engaging,
yeah,
she's like,
yeah.
I know. I checked you on social media. I'm like, okay.
See?
Now imagine if I was there on social media and I'm this kind of person that talks about all the gossips, all the negative things and all the chaos and all this. And what would you think they would have done? They would probably would have revoked my access, or I wouldn't have gotten that access, because what kind of person is this that you are bringing here?
Yeah. Coming to criticize us and pick up all the negative things.
And take pictures of us picking our
nose.
So, yes, you got to do it properly, professionally, mm-hmm. Properly. But all in all, let passion lead. And like you may have noticed most of my posts that I like using the word through my lens and leave your passion.
Mm.
It's soothing, you know, when you're doing something, you know, you're not doing anything wrong. You are doing what you're supposed to do and you're doing it ethically and you are helping the next person to get a clear picture of who this person is. One thing I've also noticed in the the media, the way we take pictures, you find this, is that the best picture you could get of a person, let's say maybe it's a minister or an official or the president, for example.
Yawning.
No, with a very angry face. No, the person is not angry. It's just because that's what you want to show the people. It's not angry. Remember when we speak, we are expressive. True, body language. True. The person was just expressing something, and then you happen to get that very moment because you have your certain agenda that you are pushing, and your headline follows that angry face.
Oh, for instance, an example, they just blinked and closed their eyes.
And then you say they are sleeping.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you say they are sleeping. But really, especially pictures can be deceiving, eh? Because a photo is a snap, pack. It's framed for life. And no matter how you try to do, those that will know, they will know that you have manipulated this. I mean, also we need to be wary of AI nowadays. That is one of, it was not meant to do bad things, but the way we are using it, and I've noticed, especially here in Namibia, and you find these deep fakes. And also, I think it's also our responsibility as individuals. As much as you have this smartphone that you are able to go to social media to go and collect all these negative things, why don't you also make it your responsibility to also go and verify what you are seeing with your smartphone, with your own data? Why don't you do that as well to help yourself and help the next person before you pollute their head with negativity? It's something that I always want to, you can't control people, and you are not responsible for how they think and how they interpret things, but it's so common sense. It's common sense.
Common sense is not so common. My friend says that.
Yes, please. So,
common sense
no,
is not
please.
So common. Nowadays, common sense is not so common.
Yeah, but really, AI is ruining it for us, even photographers.
It is. I do like AI, but can I tell you, maybe hate is a strong word. I hate AI photos.
They
like,
lose.
Why would I myself, right?
Yeah.
Take AI, have AI pictures. If it's a cartoon, maybe, yeah. Mm. But AI photos that look like I'm wearing this.
So polished.
Yeah, so polished. I'm wearing
face
this.
Face looks like a
doll.
No,
it looks like a fake thing. I don't want that. If I want to, like, for instance, you get now, I'm wearing a pink blazer with a, I don't know, blue skirt. I don't know, just something, right?
Yeah.
I'd rather think, let me go buy those clothes and take proper pictures. I don't want that look so fake.
Yes. And in reporting, especially in our profession, it's really, you are painting a very bad picture over that. Don't you think that person has a life? Don't you think they have feelings as well? Now imagine it's you in that space and, all these, people, I'm sure someone out there is probably like, we don't care about your feelings. But really, it matters.
It does.
It does matter.
It does.
So, yeah, you just have to do something like you have 10 people watching. It's also something I've learned from one of my managers. I'm so fortunate that most of my managers have been more like mentors to me. So I've learned a lot from them. So they will even tell you, when you're doing something, make sure you do it well and you do it professionally. And you may be alone there, but just do it like, you have 10 people watching you right that at that moment. It's really in integrity as well. So you have to have that integrity. You find the media, for example, back then, I think the Otapi Independence Celebration, was it Heroes Day?
Yeah.
It was very unique.
Was it?
The reason I'm calling it unique is
the grunting of
yes.
So
no. sorry. It's because someone. We are talking of integrity now in the professional space. Someone somewhere in the team,
yeah.
Somewhere, I don't know, took a picture of the menu of what was going to be eaten at the, or served at Independence. Sorry. It was like they shared, and they shared that with someone, and they ended up going viral. And it's like, oh, they are going to eat Greek salad, and they are going to eat. And they are going to. So, what do you think you just created? It became chaotic. So, you who shared that, what did you think you just did? What do you sleep well at night, knowing that you just caused damage? Because we take things out of context where they weren't supposed to be taken out of context. Who made us angry? Who angered you that you want to see the house breaking down, or you want to see someone going down? What's wrong with you? So, really.
Good question.
Yeah.
Good question. Oh, wow. You have stories to tell. I think photographers, really, which is quite surprising.
Yeah.
I think, but it shouldn't be, because photographers get to see so much.
You see a lot.
You see
I
a
tell
lot.
You something. When you are taking portraits, for example, especially myself, you immediately pick up that, okay, this person is nervous. Okay, this person has a low self-esteem. This person is not so confident in themselves. This person is doubting the way they are dressed, or they doubting the way they stand, or they are doubting their, you know? And immediately when you pick up, let's say, for example, a person tilts their head slightly, the moment you mention it, because you can see it, they will be, because they can't see it, you can see it, they will be, no, my head always like this. No, it's not like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm here to guide you. I'm here to help you. Yeah. Make sure that I get a best picture. And then you see that the person is holding their breath. That I see too. You can just see, and that you'll be able to immediately pick up when the person's shoulders are stiff, like upright. The moment you just say, please breathe, you see that the person is relaxing.
Oh.
And it's like, why are you holding your breath? It's just a photo. You are not underwater.
Exactly.
And you are not getting an injection or whatever. So.
Must be interesting.
Yeah.
Working
of course,
in your shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's something I really love. I love working with people.
Yeah.
I love dealing with people. Because when you get to, and then immediately that person will come to you so nervous. And when you just talk to them, you make them comfortable. Sometimes you can even, I love making jokes as well, like when I'm taking pictures.
Yeah.
I might even make fun of your name, but it's not because I want to disrespect you or whatever. No, I want you to get comfortable.
Nice.
So that we are both comfortable. I do my job and I make sure I serve you well as well.
Exactly.
I do that with the president as well. Oh, guys, please. It's the president. I want to get the best shot of her. And that's a shot I want to see tomorrow and in maybe 2 years or 5 years, forever. That's
in the newspaper.
Yes.
And what happy the journalist would probably share.
Absolutely. Mm. But one thing I've noticed also, you share a picture, but then some media houses will not use it. They use an old, ugly photo that they have taken. So, why? What are you pushing? I mean, just show a moment. I mean, share a moment, and of course, unless, like I said, you have an agenda to push, and you want the people to see it that way, while it's actually not the fact. People are not always there to defend themselves.
Mm.
People are not always there to say, no, it's like it was not like that. It was like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that opportunity is not always there, but it was your job to make sure that it,
you did it right.
You did it right. You did the right thing, but you take people are going to Katima. You are going to Rehoboth. before, you know, why are you doing this?
Good questions.
We're like, who sent you?
good question. We need to put you on the board when we finally get the board together, yeah. Like the Health Professions Council. For media, we need to put you on the board. Yeah. Nonetheless, I have one question for you. Mm-hmm. Did you take that picture of mm-hmm. President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah in her military skirt? Did you take that?
No, that was not. Okay. We are actually two colleagues uh-huh. who we alternate during programs, also depending on the magnitude of the programs. Uh-huh. So it happened to be my colleague who was there. So I was also looking forward to the moment.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, my colleague did a good job as well.
He did. Please give him my regards. You know, when that particular picture came out, uh-huh. a lot of people that mm-hmm. know me mm-hmm. sent it to me.
Oh, wow.
And I felt so good. You know why?
Yeah.
It was my battle asking NAST to mm-hmm. allow me to wear a combat skirt to do my paramedic course.
Oh.
Yeah. So yeah. I made one. Mm-hmm. And so those who are close to me when now President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah wore her own.
Mm.
I think some people close to me now realize I wasn't crazy.
Absolutely.
And it felt so good. It really did feel good. But yeah. Nonetheless, another message. Please go tell the president that Happy Juju would love to interview her. Right.
I see you're a very big fan.
I'm a big fan. Dressing code also aligns.
I think, you know how I got to pick you up?
Don't reveal me now on radio. But anyway, go ahead.
I would not say much.
No, it's
but
okay.
it's how you see how people share content.
Ah.
You are able to see
who shared,
mm-hmm. and you want immediately to see what they said.
Okay.
So I'm that kind of person who, for example, analyze. Because it's part of my job as well, social media management. I want to see the sentiments on social media, whether it's good or bad, and how can we improve, how best we can do our job. Because
mm-hmm.
that's why we are there on social media, is to also make sure that we involve the digital space into our work. So you get to see people saying certain things, and some you know, some you don't. But those sometimes that I know, I have their numbers.
Yeah.
I'll call them and like, I won't engage on the platform, of course, mm-mm-mm. but I'll engage them personally and like, really? Did you really have to do that? What's wrong with you?
Mm.
Why are you doing this for likes? Cause one thing I've noticed on social media, what you are just saying there on social media, can you really say it to someone's face? Mm-hmm. That's what I want
we
to know.
We hide behind
yes.
social media.
Yes,
times.
But you also don't know that digital space that you have created or that has been created, you may be abusing that platform, but you don't know what type of damage it's causing you. What if tomorrow you are becoming a mayor and you are saying these kind of things? What do you think people would say? You might be hired, yes. And then immediately people go back to your social media and like, this one, that. You could be fired immediately
True.
Because the organization doesn't support sort of this and that.
Mm.
And then boom, social media has cost for you.
You are representing a brand.
You are representing a brand. So actually, it's the way you conduct yourself in a public space and how you conduct yourself on social media, and also when nobody is watching,
uh-huh.
it's supposed to be aligned. Of course, we all have personal lives. We all have opinions. But you must choose wisely the platforms and the way you say it. And also, social media is very powerful, especially in our space. Nowadays, like I said, I was a manager once at the company.
Mm-hmm.
The people I hired to come work with me as my juniors, I got the names. I mean, it's also just common practice when you get the name of someone, you immediately rush to LinkedIn, you immediately rush to Facebook, you immediately rush to Instagram, or you just go to Google. I'm giving you a hint now.
Yeah.
Go to Google. How often do you actually Google yourself?
Mm.
Go to Google now.
Yes.
And just type in your name.
Mm-hmm.
Especially how your name appears in a public space.
Mm-hmm.
Just type in your name. You can try, if you have many names, you can try all. Just try it.
Omit one also.
Yes, try it and see what comes up. Everything you have done online, most of it will pop up. And sometimes you want to see what kind of person you are online.
Mm.
So the digital space never forgets.
True.
So what you do there better be good.
Exactly.
Yes.
I did that a couple of times. Yeah. But you know what, Abisai, this has been a very interesting, not just interesting, educative and informative interview. I thought it was going to be sort of like just a casual talk, but it was more educative and informative than I actually expected.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I think I would describe you as dynamite come in small packages. No, really.
Okay.
Yeah. You see this young gentleman,
mm-hmm.
but not knowing that he's a computer filled with so much information.
The memories.
Yeah.
The memories are
overloaded.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure really engaging you, and thank you for making time out of your busy schedule, especially should have been family time now on a Saturday, but coming here to be with us, I do really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thanks for having me. It's mm-hmm. been a pleasure.
Yeah. Please send my regards to President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah too. Tell her Eagle FM doors are very much wide open. We're expecting her here. Happy Juju specifically is expecting her here.
I would do so.
Okay.
All right.
And we wish you all the best as you continue your work in the State House. And yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And also, maybe while we're closing, I also mm-hmm. just want to tell people, especially the upcoming creatives, I'm open. We have a couple of WhatsApp groups where we engage.
Nice.
So I'm open. I have mentored a couple of people who are doing very well right now.
Mm.
So you can reach me on social media, and we talk about your interests in the media field. And I'm happy and willing to teach and to guide.
Okay, nice. What's your social media page?
Oh, my social media, it's just my name. It's,
which is?
Abisai Haidua.
Good.
So if you go there, you find me. It's a guy that's overly excited and smiling on the profiles.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Okay. And of course, with that being said, we have officially come to the conclusion of today's episode of Life Lessons. It's been a very interesting and educative and informative interview. I sure hope I have delivered and my guests have delivered. You've learned something. I've definitely learned something. Now, until next time, next Saturday, same place, same time, same radio frequency, same website, same app. Now, if you haven't already, please ensure that you download the Eagle FM app. And if you're interested in listening to this conversation again, please do head over to our podcast session. It should be up by Monday so that you can listen to it or tell a friend to actually listen and tune into Life Lessons every Saturday from 1900 hours up until 2100 hours with yours truly, Ndafa Happy Juju. Now from me, Ndafa Happy Juju, it is good night. Adios, Tata. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.